Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. We're off. It's the weekend. We've all started. We've all got alcohol.
Not me.
Yeah, he's had alcohol already. Greeny's no doubt got a good red wine, and the two Americans would wish that they had it, but they haven't. Joining us, the great panel. Good one this week, definitely. Wait,
what do you mean? What do you mean, two Americans?
Three Americans, of course. You're American. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, I only live
you're
in a
you're not Filipino, because I have a friend who's Filipino.
Maybe you know him.
I might.
You might. Yeah, that's true, actually.
I might. Yeah.
You might have been out with his sister.
Yeah, who knows?
First of all, top left, Mr. Adam Christensen. How you doing, sir?
Good. How you doing?
All right.
Trying to figure out how to mute this live stream as I look at the true value ad. Ah, oh, there I am.
Where have you been? Because we haven't seen you for a couple of months.
I'm good. Although I'm getting an echo now. What did I do? Is that me?
It's probably your stream's not muted. I would have thought. There's no echo from this end, I don't think.
Okay, good. I think I have it muted now. Sounds better. Sorry. Technical difficulties. The new guy.
I'd say we'd start again, but it won't improve the quality of this show.
In my ears.
What have you been up to for the last 2 months, dude?
I've been up to everything. All the fun Apple, you know, following Apple rumors and getting up to date with Mountain Lion and what else? My mom came to visit, which was nice. It's the summer. Doing summer stuff, you know. But mostly work.
In-depth analysis from you.
I wish I could say something more fun than that, but work. Yeah,
never mind. Next to him, Mr. Swagger from the Philippines, who is American, not Filipino.
Yeah. Last I checked.
Yes. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good. It's speaking of the Philippines, I'm getting really sick of the rain.
Oh, really? Is it rainy season there?
Well, it is our monsoon season, but for some reason, since last Sunday, we get like these little mini typhoons, and they're not, mind you, they're not typhoons that are hitting the country. We get these mini little typhoons, and then the sun, and then the wind and the rain, and then the sun, and then the wind and the rain. And for a whole friggin' week now, I'm so sick of it.
Okay. Well,
but other than that, week's been great.
And it's like 200 degrees outside as well and humid.
Oh, no, that's the thing, though. See, it's much cooler, then it gets hot and humid and sticky, and then cooler. And hot, humid, and sticky. So you kind of get that with it.
The week in weather. You should do a podcast on that, dude.
I should, yeah. It's raining. It's sunny. It's raining. It's sunny.
Mr. Forsman, how are you doing, mate?
Not too bad. Not too bad. A little sore, as we discussed earlier in the day. Okay. But
No, hanging in there. We're not going through that story, because Greeny will get hold of it in a minute. And
I'm ready for a nap, though, I'll be honest.
After the podcast. And last but by no means least, Mr. Will Green.
Hello.
How's things?
Oh, not too bad.
You've updated Skype, and you're hoping for a less eventful week this week with it.
Yeah, well, the audio, I listened back to it. The audio was pretty terrible last time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I've updated Skype, but if this messes up, I've got my dual boot. My second plan of action enabled, which good, is Snow Leopard.
Excellent.
Will's got dual. What's the story then?
What story?
Just a minute ago, you were saying that Chris has had some problems.
What's the story, Morning Glory?
Chris is a bit sore. That's because Chris decided out of nowhere to do a competitive 5K run yesterday.
Oh. Did you win?
No.
It's not just a no, it's a hell no.
I sure as heck didn't.
Yeah.
But you survived, right?
So I did survive. You're with us. That's really...
That's the key.
Yeah. How bad can it get?
I finished, and I survived, and that's good enough for me.
What gadgets did you take with you, being a techie?
Just had my iPhone 4.
You weren't running any special programs for pacing or...
No, I use an app called Runkeeper.
Not enough, obviously.
But what's nice about it, is that it has like a little coaching thing you can set up, and it'll give you little audio cues as you run. So I have it to set up every quarter mile to tell me like what my current pace is, how far I've gone, and how long it's been.
And does it call 911 if it senses a change in your heart rate or something like that?
It can integrate with, you know, you can put on those heart rate monitors and connect over Bluetooth. And I'm assuming that's a feature once you connect it. I haven't bothered. I don't really want to know how fast my heart is racing. So,
the week in Mac, we're here to discuss what's gone on in the Maciverse, and it's been a week with Mountain Lion. So we've had a week to get the glitches out and that kind of stuff. Chat room, feel free to dib in here with any comments. How are we all finding Mountain Lion 1 week on, Adam?
Yeah, it sucks now.
Oh,
sorry.
Fair enough.
No, I like sorry. That. Go. Who was that? I can't see.
That was Kyle. But go ahead, Adam. What do you think?
You know, I haven't. I've been working like crazy, so I've sat down with it. I installed it on my MacBook Air. It was pretty much flawless in terms of the install. I just did the over the top kind of thing, and I mean, it's nice. I guess the initial reaction that I had was, well, it's OS X. You know, there's not a lot of initially, like there's not a huge change. So you're not noticing a lot different, but it seems to run smooth for me. And some of the new features like Notification Center and Dictation, I'm really enjoying. So I don't feel like I've had enough time with it to really know. I'm in the honeymoon phase, I guess, is where it's at. You know, it's like everything's beautiful. I upgraded. It's working really well. Talk to me in a month when, you know, maybe problems start to show up. No, I don't really expect any problems.
We were all in that a week ago, but I've certainly noticed a few little eyesores come out.
Oh, so you're getting there already. Yeah, see, I'm not spending a ton of time with it yet, so I've kind of looked into it so I can talk about it on the show and stuff like that, but I haven't put it on my primary machine because I'm in the middle of some big projects right now, and I really can't risk it.
Very
so
sensible.
Yeah.
Very sensible. Greeny, you're a week in as well, aren't you? So what do you think? Still loving it or...?
Yeah, it seems okay. Everything seems to be working all right. Obviously, there's going to be a few compatibility problems with a few apps and stuff like that. It took a while to figure out how to get the old notification center going. To be honest, most of my stuff that I gleaned from it, I learned from a screencast online. I just watched it this morning. And I thought, oh, I didn't know he did that. And that's the way I sort of do it, really. Mm. I'm like, if you imagine you've got like a some sort of mini brain, right, mm-hmm. that you could then stick on the side of Don's brain and then suck out the bits that he throws away. That's pretty much me, really, and that's how I learn.
You're a screencast vulture.
Yeah, yeah. I good stuck luck. Them all up, the old vibes, and so it's good. Everything seems to be working, touch wood, it seems to be working fine, and... The big thing with me is when I was running, what's the last one called?
Lion.
Lion.
It's Lion, yeah. Good old-fashioned Lion.
When I was running that, it was a complete dog. It was terrible. Yeah. And so, mainly, I think, involving the ridiculous concept of having two graphics cards in one computer, sort of mess things up, and Mountain Lion seems to have solved that.
I mean, I actually need to know a little bit more about that. Sorry, I got to ask. So did you do just the straight right over the top of your Lion that was giving you troubles? Because that's what I've been wanting to avoid, because I'm just worried that it's not going to fix my problems, that I have sort of pre-existing problems, and I was going to take more time to do the install. But if it's just going to fix it by doing the over the top upgrade, I'm maybe game for that.
It's absolutely. So with the Mountain install, I originally did an upgrade. And it was still still rubbish. And then I did a couple of times. And then eventually I did like a clean install. And so it was still rubbish. So I don't think it's the upgrade process or, you know, the fresh install process. I think the problem was with Lion. It was a bag of pants. But with, I did a regular upgrade to Mountain Lion and all my problems went away. So I think it was an OS fault, not an installation glitch, as it were.
Well, that's good news.
Mm.
I wouldn't trust me, though, Adam. I really wouldn't.
Well, I mean, you had experience. I'm hearing this. I'm hearing similar stories from a lot of people who are saying that they're really enjoying Mountain Lion. The upgrade process went very smoothly. And so far, again, recognizing we're only about a week into it, so far, it seems for most people, I know there's some exceptions we're hearing about now, but for most people, it seems to be a pretty smooth upgrade and maybe even an improvement over Lion in a lot of ways.
Oh, it is. Totally. Chris, you were saying, I couldn't quite understand it all, but you were on about the graphics cards last week. What was all that about?
He doesn't remember. He's run since then.
Yeah. I was on about the graphics cards.
Yeah, you were saying something about the performance on the sort of, so if your machine's got two graphics cards, like your MacBook Pro's got two graphics cards.
Right.
You were saying, unless I dreamt this, but I'm fairly sure you were saying that on your speed test, unless you're making it up, that's, if you're going to lie, you've got to have a good memory. This is all made up, isn't it?
He's forgotten the question.
I don't remember. The problem is I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Ask the question without breaking off into tangents, mate, please.
You know, the graphics card, you were saying, right, so in your Mac, you got two graphics cards, and you were saying that the speed the speed tests were much improved over along those.
Okay, I think I know you're talking about the article I published yesterday.
Yeah, what? Last week you discussed with Will the article you published yesterday. He's confused enough, mate. He'll disappear up his own backside if you're not careful. Keep it simple. Okay.
All right.
And you killed your grandmother.
Just trying to make sure that I understand what he's talking about. At any rate, I did some tests on Lion versus Mountain Lion on a Retina MacBook Pro and did get up to 10% faster performance in OpenGL. And we also have some sources that have some information. It's not as specific as we'd like, but we do know there's been some architectural changes to the graphics subsystem because Apple has been really slow in upgrading its OpenGL support as new versions come out. And part of that is because all the user interface and all the, you know, the whole graphics system of OS X is all tied into that OpenGL implementation. So if they go in to try to upgrade something, they have to make sure it doesn't break everything else since the UI relies on it. So what they've done is they've kind of separated abstracted some of the graphics system from the OpenGL implementation so that they can put in a new OpenGL implementation and then it shouldn't affect everything else that relies on it, you know, in the system.
Dude, so I have no idea what you've just said. Greeny has got no chance.
he's making it up as he goes along.
You didn't get that? That was...
I thought I explained it pretty...
I got it. I'm with you.
Okay. Greeny, well, you and me are obviously just stupid.
Let me try to give you the 30-second version. The underside, the under-the-hood stuff that does the graphics, they're separating that from OpenGL so they can upgrade OpenGL faster and not screw up the whole system. And that's part of the reason why it's been so slow to upgrade. You know, Mountain Lion's on 3.2. OpenGL 4.2 has been out for over a year now. I'm told they're going to have an update. They're going to announce at SIGGRAPH. I think it's next week. So any day now, there'll be a minor update to probably 4.3 or something like that. And Apple's still, you know, OS X still sitting here on 3.2. So that's what's going on. But the improvements that they're doing, improved drivers, improved subsystem, everything, it's actually giving a boost to the graphics performance. Even on the same hardware.
Greeny's head's about to explode.
Well, this is the classic problem that OS X has had because of, you know, the BSD roots and stuff like that, where they have stuff in there and they're often very far behind the rest of the, you know, the community in terms of versions and stuff like that. And that's why I think, Chris, let me know if you agree, but this is why Apple's spun off things like Java. You know, they couldn't keep up with Java, so they're letting Sun and those guys take care of that piece now, and it's been a problem for them to kind of maintain and keep up with all the versions of all these components that are underlying the operating system.
Yeah, I think that's true to a certain degree. I think the OpenGL is a bit of a special case because the way it's so tied into the graphics subsystem, and it's used, you know, the whole OS X windowing everything uses you know, GPU accelerated compositing and things like that. So it's just a matter of kind of like, basically they have to kind of rethink how it's set up to make it easier to upgrade the OpenGL side while still maintaining stability and everything, and you know, when you're just using the desktop.
I don't know about all of you guys, but ever since I've installed Mountain Lion and got everything, you know, all nice and pretty, my flex capacitor is superb on it now.
Wise words, dude. Wise words. Chat room is saying my Mountain Lion installation is only 30 minutes old, so it seems okay so far, says Ian. It's been the least problematic update I've had so far, says Mac Jim on 3 Macs. Notification center's a little wonky, says Mark Shepherd. It quit notifying me at one point till I had to reboot. I tried Firefox and my CPU's running a lot cooler than when I was watching shows on Safari. So Firefox is running better on it than Safari is. I can't read one of those comments out. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I've had issues with my fans going ballistic. And Pete in the chat room said to me just after the photo show, why don't you try hard disk drive monitors from Mac Update and the fan controller? And I've put that on, and instantly the fans have stopped. And the Mac is cooler than when the fans were going like billio. And that's quite interesting, because if you went back about a year, we had the issue with the 7th pin on the SSDs on iMacs. And they were causing an issue. Now, my MacBook Pro has got a Crucial SSD in it. And I'm sitting thinking, well, Lion didn't have any issues with this. But now Mountain Lion's come along. My fans have been going crazy. And the other thing that's been happening is when I shut the lid, it's not going into standby. It's killing the screen and all that kind of stuff. But the battery drain on it is horrific. And battery is going down like ballistically fast on it. It's way, way worse than Lion was. Chris, have you had any readers, or Adam, have you heard anything from the community that said that's the case?
My experience has been really good so far, but I was looking into this complaint of the battery life, and so just this morning I pulled the cord off my MacBook Air and started looking at it, and the battery was going down much faster than I remember.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, this MacBook Air is over 2 years old, and I'm sure it's getting close to its...
Yeah, but that's a week. I use my MacBook Pro, I use an awful lot on battery, and I've got effectively last Thursday, I was using it on battery, and it wasn't going down anywhere near as fast as it was yesterday when I was using it on battery. There's definitely a step change. I'm so regular that I would notice it, and it's definitely there.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, it's really hard for me to quantify it, but it definitely feels like it's going down faster. So we're kind of trying to come up with some tests that we can do, some before and after tests. I still have a Retina MacBook Pro test unit here, and I just did, you know, all the testing for the review under Lion. And I just upgraded to Mount Lion a few days ago to do some different testing with the graphics card. So I could rerun the battery test and see what I get. We have some other people on staff that have some different models. Unfortunately, I didn't really think to do all this stuff before, you know, Mount Lion just came out, and I downloaded it like the minute it came out and installed it so I could do some articles like talking about some new features and things like that. And I just didn't really think to run some tests before I updated. And I also didn't think to just keep an extra install around so I could swap back and forth. So I kind of hosed myself a little bit, rolled the dice a bit, but I'd say it definitely feels like the battery drains faster, and I can't really determine any kind of cause for that yet. So we're looking into it for more.
If you are upgrading to Mountain Lion, you haven't done it, Yeah. My advice, first of all, make sure you've got no backup. That's key. Key, that is. Number two, make sure the installation you're doing, the Mac you're doing, is your main work machine. That's another thing. You know,
no backup of data, no backup machine. Yeah.
Yeah. Just before you update, make sure you do not do software update. So you've got nice old drivers. That's another thing as well. And if you go with those three principles, you should be all right. Worked okay for me anyway.
let's remind the people that the views and opinions of Will Green do not affect those of Heroes of the British Tech Network. Thank you.
Now, the other thing that it did, which I got to say, now this really has pissed me off, because I've got a decent collection of fonts that I've gathered over the years, and I had a pile of fonts on, and as soon as I upgraded to Mountain Lion, all my fonts have gone.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's completely overwritten the fonts folder. Not a single font is remaining. And I've had to go back and go to my fonts that I've kept and my zip files and unzip them and then click, you know, highlight them all and click open. And then, you know, when it goes down and it shows you like 75 boxes and you have to click install on it, install font, install font, install font, install font. And then it goes, are you sure? And you go, yes. And that's really hacked me off. That's an hour of my time this week has been just putting my fonts back on. And I thought to myself, that's a bit naughty. You shouldn't overwrite fonts. That's
strange. I didn't have the same problem at all. And I mean, a ridiculous amount of fonts installed.
Yeah, no, it's wiped every single font I've got. iBookery says font folder wipe is not fun. I agree.
No.
Which, I'm assuming in your user's font folder, or is that the system font folder?
System fonts, I guess.
You guess.
Well, no, I open fonts and I just put them in fonts.
Is that the folder that was on your desktop that said
I don't put them in a folder. I double click
you
the
just
file.
Just click install,
and
right?
It says install fonts.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know where it puts it. Jesus.
You know, all this weird crap always happens to you, and it's always you.
Mate, I get raw chicken in restaurants. I'm that's me all over. Absolutely me all over. Allegedly. Go on, Will.
I got a tip, only a very quick one. If you're a developer or in graphic design and stuff like that, and we work primarily with the Windows trade, is download the trial version of Microsoft Office, because you get a shed load of fonts with that, and then once you've done your 30 days, or you can uninstall it pretty much straight away. But it doesn't take the fonts from your home folder, or your home library, I should say.
Top free tip.
It is.
It's not stealing. Yeah.
It's not stealing, no, because they give them out free.
Mm.
That's yeah. And go and tell.
You know, there's an and.
Well, you know, there's like the system library and your home library, don't you?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
By the sounds of it, you've trashed your home library fonts.
I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
The mountain did it.
You can get tons of free fonts online anyway, which is where I got a lot of mine from. I haven't paid for many of them. I only paid for one, but yes.
Which one was that then?
Homeboys.
Homeboys.
Homeboys font. Very good font. Uptake of Lion has been pretty good. I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that this is an adequate straw poll, but just from our own website, 58% of the Mac traffic that we've had in the last 7 days has been Mountain Lion. So I don't know if we've got a higher quantity of engaged people within the Mac community who'd come to our website, but 58% has been Mountain Lion, 31% Lion, 10% Snow Leopard, 1% Leopard, and 1% Tiger.
Oh,
Tiger.
If you're out there on Tiger and you listen to us, cool. Love you to bits. Thank you. So the uptake's been good on Mountain Lion. It seems that a lot of people are going for it. Yeah. There's Jenks in the chat room is saying, you know, it's a week in. I'm going to wait until I hear the good and the bad before I decide to install it. But on balance, if you've got drivers, I mean, I'm wanting to do it on the main machine. I was going to do it after the show today, but I've been to the pre-Sonus website for the sound card, and there's no driver yet for Mountain Lion. And I don't know whether there should be or whether I'm... Because if I go for it, I've made myself a shed load of work.
I'll do it anyway. Go on.
Thanks, Greeny. And without a backup, of course.
Yes. Yeah. I totally, honestly, it really made me laugh because I watched the Don thing go on about these are the steps you need to take. I'm thinking of. And this is
oh, hang on, hang on, hang on. There we go. There we go.
Yeah, there's one. A, yeah.
19 minutes.
hang on, let me don't
I love the green counter.
You were swearing before me.
I didn't swear. I haven't sworn today.
Yes, you have.
I have not.
Well, is the P-I-S-S word a swear word?
No, 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 I don't, no.
No.
No, 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 no. Now, here's another thing, Forsman. I said the other week, the September event is always traditionally the iPod event, and you gave me all loads of crap over the fact that, no, it's October. September 12th is going to be the Apple for launch of iPhone 5. Stick that up it, mate. I told you it was September.
All right, bend over. I'll stick it right up there.
And apparently as well, it's coming with an 8-pin connector, which I've got to see how they're going to make that work. Because it's got this, this little tiny wiggly thing, and it looks like a micro USB type stuff. I mean, of all the iPhone 5 rumors out there, are we pretty certain that the video that we saw the other week is what it's going to look like?
Well, similar. At least, well, similar. I would hope it actually includes a screen on the finished product.
yeah. It's an inch longer, apparently.
Let's be fair. These videos haven't shown an actual finished device yet. Just some parts slapped together. So,
What's the gut feeling, Adam? Do you think what we've seen is what's coming, or are you still skeptical?
I'm afraid, probably yes. And I say afraid because I really don't like that two tone back thing. I don't know. Maybe it'll grow on me.
God, somebody else feels like me. Thank you.
I think it looks stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it feels like a step backwards. Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, it does really remind me of the original iPhone where we had that metal back with the plastic parts of the antenna, you know, could get out. I'd prefer to see it be one seamless material. It just seems very un-Apple-like to have kind of, but I guess, you know, they do that on the back of the iMacs, but you generally don't see that, right? So this is people are going to be holding in their hands. But beyond that, you know, it looks like it's going to be a nice device. And of course, I'm going to upgrade you know. The specs are certainly coming together very nicely, so it's going to be a nice update. But
go, Carl.
Apple's the only company, as far as us tech geeks are concerned, it's the only company that could put out a piece of crap. We'll still buy it.
Well, they don't. Not really a piece of crap.
I shouldn't say that. They could put out a design that we're not. Adam doesn't really like it. I'm not that thrilled with it. Some people like it. Some people don't. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to buy it. Why? Because of the damn App Store.
Russ in the chat room is egging me on saying his M Audio profile worked just fine with Mountain Lion. I'm sure it'll be fine. Go ahead. Thanks, mate. If you're not doing anything this weekend and you need to come back and reinstall everything for me, that'd be great too. Pierce in the chat room says inch longer. I've had emails that promise me that kind of thing, but they never work. Matt Jim says, I truly hope not. The mock-ups of the iPhone 5 look awful. Teresa, I really want the iPhone phone, but I won't be able to get one until January because of my phone plan. And Ian says, the leaked photos online look bloody awful. I don't want my headphone socket on the bottom. I mean,
I agree.
Everything that's come out, if Apple are doing it, it's kind of like, oh, you know, let's just see what gauge the response. Generally, the response hasn't been good. Been interested, but not. No one's going, oh, that's cool. Yeah, I really like that. Can't wait for that to come.
Design-wise, it's not much different. It just looks different, but they've stretched it.
Yeah,
it's no leap from the first gen to the 3GS and then the 4. And it's like we got to the 4, and now I feel like we're taking a step back, but we're keeping that 4 frame there a little bit. I don't know. It is rubbing me not the right way. It's actually making me look more at an Android device, to be completely honest with you. The Galaxy 3 is beautiful.
I'm just going to say, I know this is going to blow your minds. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to wait until Apple actually announces something.
All right. So thanks for this week's show. We'll see you all again in September. I know the weekly download figures may not be great, but we're going to stay true to waiting. Someone says, Jim says, I need glasses. I don't know why, but there we go. And Mark Shepherd says, do we think that the dock connector is definitely changing? Yay or nay? Adam?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it's mainly, I mean, they've got to make it smaller if they want to make a smaller device. So they have to have a smaller connector. It, you know, and everybody wants these things to get thinner. And It can't with the current, I don't think it can with the current 30 pin. It's just too much space. They need more room in there.
Carl, you said yes as well in unison.
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to change it first and foremost to, just so they can get more money off of us, you know, for extra cables and adapters and all that crap. Secondly,
the margins on cables and adapters are sure huge.
I just bought a Thunderbolt cable, mate. Trust me. £40
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah.
There's no, I think they will. They definitely will change it. I hope we get more than just that. The iPhone jack on the bottom and the or the phone jack, headphone jack on the bottom, and then but 8-pin I'm not seeing. How the heck do we go from a 30-pin to an 8-pin?
Well, you're not doing video through this anymore, are you? So, but I mean, it limits you then when you if you're going out to projectors off Keynote and that kind of stuff. Maybe
I'm not seeing the 8-pin. I could see a 16-pin and 19-pin. They'd be small pins. But yeah,
isn't there something else with the headphone jack? Is on the bottom, like the iPod Touch or something. There's an iPod. There's some other kind of iPod that had a headphone jack in the bottom, and I remember it being a real pain.
Will
it's the Nano?
Yeah.
Was it a Nano?
I was going to say Nano because I was going to go to Will because he loves his Nano as a watch.
I do. Except it only lasts about half an hour. The old battery life, no.
Did you been using it as a watch?
No, well, it's a right pain because my little baby got hold of it, and you know how dribbly they can be. She sucked it for a while, and it didn't work for about 3 days. And then it started working again, but now the battery life is down to about half an hour, without actually doing anything. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take it back to Apple on Monday, right? So it's okay. Oh, no. Can you put this out on late Monday? Because I'll never know.
Okay, go on. I won't tell anyone. No one listens to this anyway, so.
And I'm going to plead innocence and say, really? I didn't know that. What do you think?
I'd go for it. Right. So, but what are you going to do about the fact that your daughter's saliva has changed the colour of the wetness indicator on the inside of the headphone socket?
All you have to do is put a load of blue stuff you get in your belly button. You just get lint. All that.
You want to get lint. Belly. You want to get belly button lint, and stuff it in the earphone socket, and that will solve your problems.
They can't tell it, and they're not going to take it out, are they? And if you say there's a load of belly button blue stuff down there, they're not going to say, "Oh, I'll take that out." They're going to go, "Oh, okay, then mate, here's a new one." What do you think?
Sounds like a plan, dude.
Happy Friday, everyone.
Oh, the choice of titles today. Belly button lint. Right. That could be right up there. Oh, belly button lint.
Now, that is going to be the talk in the back of the house with the geniuses for months. That's good.
Hey, that's not my belly button. That's not my finger.
Yeah, but I mean, what else are they going to do? You wouldn't want to get out of that, would you? So, or a bit of cheese or something down there. I'll tell him what it is.
I thought you were going to come out with something sensible, like you're going to put some of that silica gel down in there, and that would absorb all the moisture. It would change the indicator ring back to the right colour. And you're talking about packing it out with straw.
What do you want to do? Tell him.
Did you just say you thought Will was going to be sensible?
Well, he's asked one intelligent question so far tonight.
Yeah, all you need to do is say, I put it in my pocket and there's a bit of a hole in my pocket and I don't tend to wear pants.
And water, miraculously, through capillary action, came up my leg.
I don't tend to wear pants.
I peed down the left leg and it came back up the right leg and went in. I wouldn't touch it if I were you because it's urine. And that'll stop them looking then, won't
that'll
it?
That'll stop them looking.
But you've given them the wetness thing that they wanted, so you don't have to.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Anyway, you wanted my opinion, didn't you, or not?
Always. We always want your opinion, mate. Absolutely.
I genuinely can't remember what the question... What was it? No, I genuinely...
It was the headphone jack. And I think the thing is that more and more, Apple's moving toward using, you know, the Bluetooth, especially with the 4, Bluetooth 4 that's lower power, and they want to cut the cords completely. So they probably don't mind too much moving the headphone to the bottom, even though we're all going to hate it because they probably figure we'll just go get Bluetooth headphones. Mm. Not worry about it.
We
spend more money, right? That's always the answer.
Carl said. Bend over, suckers.
And we do every time.
Every time.
But last count, what do we do it? About 4 or 5 times a year?
What, yeah, bend over?
Something like that. Oh, yeah.
Wait for an Apple keynote. Yeah, maybe. Apple's Thunderbolt to FireWire adapters are out. You've got FireWire 800 and Gigabit Ethernet as well to Thunderbolt. $29 for both. So that's about £20 here in the UK.
Buy one, get one.
Buy one, pay another for the same price.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Bad luck. These things are they everything that's Thunderbolt, or is it the new Retina only?
Oh, yeah, it works with anything.
It's all Thunderbolt, right, okay. Mm-hmm. There you go, that's that story then. I can't think of anything else for an opinion on that. And Mobile Me's gone. Mobile Me is up the stuff. It's definitely finished. It's all done and dusted. Anyone lamenting?
No.
Right,
okay. iWork.com is gone too, which even less people are lamenting.
Yeah.
I only have one document. You know, that was still there.
they announced that the last Macworld Expo they were at in 2009, I think is when they announced that. And I used it once to try it out for an article, and that was it. It was never left beta. I mean,
no, it never left beta. I put one document up and shared it with someone just to try it, and that was it. Never used it again after that.
which is odd, because I used it once or twice too, and it actually worked really well.
It worked well, yeah.
It was actually a good cloud service from Apple, you know. For all the failings of Mobile Me or that it had early on, I think they've got this stuff figured out after, you know, how many years now. iCloud's pretty decent.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
iCloud's. No, I like it.
iCloud's okay, but I mean,
screw iCloud.
Well,
documents in the cloud is messed up, but I mean, that's getting better too with Mountain Lion. So,
if you're talking about documents in the cloud for storage of documents, I think iCloud's really good. I've got a couple of my accounts documents up there so that I can get them wherever I am, and the wife can get to them as well. And that works just fine. So, as long as you've got the login to that, it's fine. But it just lacks that subtlety of Dropbox for letting other users in to share your documents, I think.
Yep.
Unless you're signed on the same account on a different MacBook, or a different Mac. Then it works fine, but if you're on a different account and you want to try sharing, it just lacks that finesse that Dropbox is.
It's definitely not for sharing, at least not yet. I mean, it's really for you keeping all your stuff on all your devices in sync. It's very personal, as opposed to something like Dropbox, which, you know, does allow you to better share that stuff. So I totally agree with you there.
I mean,
even passwords when it comes to Dropbox.
Even sharing passwords.
Saying that Dropbox is always having security issues. I will give that about iCloud. It seems at least right now, it'll probably go crap tomorrow after I say this. But it seems the security on it is really, really good. So
I had it out with their tech support.
Go ahead, Adam.
Hmm?
I said I had it out with their tech support this week because they sent me that email about, hey, you need to reset your password. And insult to injury, you know, they put right in there, well, you really should, review our password policies and consider using something like 1Password and make sure you have different passwords on every website.
Well, that
which
was
is exactly
Apple.
What I do. So I emailed back and I said,
so the advice from Apple was to use 1Password.
No, this was Dropbox.
Oh, Dropbox got you, sorry.
had a breach, a hack. And it's almost always an employee. So I kind of emailed them back, and I guess I was a little bit snarky with them. And I said, sounds like your employees really need to review that password policy, because I'm actually implementing it. And as far as I understand, the hack, you know, came internally, somebody. And that's, I think, two or three of their hacks have been on their internal employee system. And then they get access to customer data. And that's where the breach happens.
Chat room, Pete wants FireWire for iPods back. Yeah, sorry, mate. Jim says, pity iCloud is just as bad as Mobile Me. Only the thing that's different is the name. And iCloud fails to sync bookmarks properly, documents, and other things. It's a pile of pish. I don't know what pish means. Mark Shepherd says, answer me this. What's the point of saving text edit documents to the iCloud if you can't access them on an iOS device?
Yeah, everything's kind of in its own place, its own little silo.
Its own cloud.
Yeah.
Its own cloud, exactly. Cloud number 7, cloud number 9. And MacBit says iCloud is inevitably hampered by Apple's desire to detach its users from any real control over their own data. Everything's applicable, application-centric rather than being data-centric. That's a really good point, because it is about the applications getting to it rather than you just having a document that you can manipulate and move as you want.
Yeah, I kind of disagree that Apple has some desire to detach users from control over their own data. I don't think that's necessarily the desire.
Well, you need a conspiracy theory to make that one work. Don't. It's worth it. But I mean, it's true that it's all about the application. It's not about the data. It's not about the files.
Right. And I'm not saying that it's the right way or the wrong way, but I see that it definitely rubs up against people who are used to having it a certain way, and it doesn't work that same way, and that's problematic because they expect it doesn't meet their expectations. But it seems like what we're seeing so far is that people who are newer users, people that have come to the Mac from iOS in particular, they don't have these same kind of issues with how it works, because they don't have that past experience, that past, you know, this is what I'm used to, so it should work this way forever. They don't have that. They don't bring that to the table when they evaluate how it works. To them, it's like, oh, I write in this whatever write program, and then there's the stuff that I wrote in it.
Yeah. I mean, go back and look what happened when we moved from text interfaces to graphic user interfaces, and you're going to have the people that were, you know, using DOS and all that stuff going, what? You're going to, what, folders and files? I mean, that's crazy. Why are you going to do, who's going to do that? That's just stupid.
You're going to click on pictures? I can type on the keyboard faster.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, you're going to drag and drop, what? So, yeah, I mean, anytime there's a big shift in technology like this, you know, there's a transition period, and certain people are going to be uncomfortable with it, and others are just going to, you know, that's going to be what they're used to and glom onto. So I'm kind of with you. That's not necessarily there's one right way or one wrong way. We're just used to, you know, we have muscle memory for, you know, 20 years of doing it the way we've been doing it. So
but surely it's going to be difficult. There's the issue. Now, it's the same with the scrolling on the mouse and that kind of stuff. Apple decides what's intuitive and then just forces it down your neck, and you kind of like, but actually I've got to say I'm hooked on the correct scrolling now. I don't know what this is. I get into any other computer and I'm like, oh, for Christ's sake, scroll the right way, will you?
Exactly.
But I hate Apple for that. You know, it's like you have to do it this way. This is the right way. And you're like, no, it's not. Well, yes, it is, but damn, I hate you for being right.
They always end up being right in the end.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, like Mark and MacBits, and we're the graybeards now. We're the grumpy old graybeards.
Yeah.
We're all here.
That's the way it was when we were kids. We liked it. You know, like, that's kind of how it is now. You know, Apple's moving on and trying to address a much wider, you know, much less geeky market, and it's working for all those new people, and the rest of us have to, you know, we have to adapt or just be grumpy, I guess.
That's right, grumpy old man.
I think most people are resolving just to be grumpy and complain a lot.
Why do I need a damn app store on my freaking computer? What the hell's up with you,
idiot? I mean, thank you for using that accent particularly there, Kyle, because Mark Shepherd in the chat room is saying we're just a bunch of command line cowboys and we never die, we just get old and grumpy. So quite correct. Matt Jim says, I'm forever having to unsync Safari in the system preferences to get the Mac to bookmarks to be fixed and then resync again afterwards. And he says, I don't think Apple's doing this in any malicious way. It's just more than wanting to make it simpler. Just let the user worry about the app rather than worry about the data.
Mm-hmm. See, yeah, we haven't hit what was really broken with all these updates, which is Safari 6, which, in my opinion, that's the thing that's messed up.
What's the typical issues you've been having then, Adam?
Maybe this is a little more just a personal problem, but, you know, I use it for web development, and so, like, they totally changed the web inspector, and it's completely broken, and that's a tool that I use a lot. A lot of people are complaining about the activity monitor being taken out, so, it, you know, some of those tools, but then just in general, you know, it just has all that kind of I don't know, weirdness. I've had weird things happen. I have this situation where a couple times I've went to load a new domain, and I don't know if this is related to how they've implemented the new universal box, but I'll type in the actual URL. It'll show the right URL in the URL box, but it's displaying a site that I was on, you know, 10 pages ago. That'll just load up in that window. So I'm having severe caching problems with it. It's like they're over caching stuff and they're not cleaning it out properly. Something is off.
Will you direct talk?
I was going to say that. That problem's been there for a while. That's I've had that Safari thing for a long time. So, for instance, my homepage is BBC News. It's my homepage. And then if I type in a different, like a Google or something like that, .com, as you say, it'll show the Google.com, but it'll still keep displaying the BBC one. So, and that's been with me for about 6 months to 8 months. One of the issues I think I had
But your computer's been slightly different from everyone else's as well, though, with your egregiance of Lion.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Another one that's been around for a long time that I don't think is fixed yet is it has that weird, have you ever had the thing where you have a bunch of tabs open and then they all suddenly decide that they're just all going to reload and refresh? That's one of my favorites.
I see they've got rid of source, view source, which is a pain in the ass, isn't it? No, then you have to put Chrome in or something. Because I use view source a lot. Well, I did until they took it out. They don't use it so much now. Huh?
It's still there.
It's not?
No.
Sure. I'm doing it right now.
Oh.
Command option.
Oh, yeah, it's there. Yep, it's there. But it does it differently now because it uses the new web inspector, which is kind of funky and broken. I actually was able to fix it a little. I was having a wrapping issue where, you know, if something was really nested in the code and it was pushed all the way to the right of that window, I would end up with a single column of like one letter on top of each other with how it was wrapping. I don't know if anybody's seen that with the web inspector, but the fix for I just went and installed. All I had to do was download and install the latest nightly build of WebKit. It just has to be on the computer, and then it sort of fixed some of the issues I was having with web inspector.
So where's view source? Because I can't see that. View, and I can't see source anymore.
Command what? Command shift U. Command option U.
Option command U. It's a keyboard shortcut. I've used it forever, so yeah. I never noticed it's not in the view menu anymore.
Yeah, if you look at
they moved it to the developer menu, you have to turn on developer tools.
I've just hit command option U and got source up. Yeah.
Yeah, but why don't it really bugs me with Apple. I mean, they can't get right. We've messed up.
Can we just establish you have got source available to you if you hit command?
All right, but why do they take it out? So my point being, again, we'll get rid of file savers. Oh, we've messed up. I'll tell you what we'll do. We won't admit that we've messed up. We'll make you press a few extra keys to get to get savers. Bloody ridiculous. Mad.
Greeny,
mad
they are. Write to your MP, mate. Definitely.
I'm going to.
Do it. Do it. Splat, the splat room. No, the chat room is split. Not the splat room. The chat room is split with Adam here. There's a couple saying, it's a piece of crap. Mac Jim's saying he's got trouble with it. He reckons it's definitely slower. Alex is saying absolutely not. Completely the opposite. Works just fine.
To be clear, I'm not saying it's a piece of crap. I've had issues with it.
No. I was summarizing.
Mine are real first world problems because, you know, it's stuff that I deal with on a daily basis. My problems go to the thing you're talking about with view source. And it's Apple catering to a different market. You know, the most users are not going to go view source. You know, most of their customers don't need that there. It's just confusing. It's extraneous. So it makes sense that they would move that to the developer menu. If you want it on, you're going to be a developer. You're going to check the box in the preferences and you'll get it back. And they moved it. It's frustrating for those of us who've been using it, but it, you know, in the bigger picture view, it does make sense. So I understand why they do it. Share the frustration.
Chat room saying it's in the developer window. Will saying, where's the developer window?
I'm getting them a screenshot right now.
Okay. There we go.
Well, I can't see this.
Right now, it's true. Right now, I'm telling computer exactly what it can do with a year's supply of chocolate.
Preferences advanced, bottom yes. line. And advanced. That's the bottom
see,
line.
See, you're an advanced user. You should feel, you know, they want to make you feel, feel more
special. No.
Come on.
You got me all wrong there.
There's about 35,000 people are all shaking their heads at this point in the show.
Show develop. Anyways, it said show develop menu in menu bar. Yeah. Couldn't even spell yes. it right.
develop they menu.
Show develop menu.
Show
menu
develop bar. Menu, not developer menu.
Exactly. So yeah. Who looks an idiot now?
Answers on a postcard, too. This podcast and all the others would not be possible without UK2.net. They're wonderful to us. We love them to bits. I forgot to do a UK2 advert on the photo show. I've just remembered. Oops.
They're wonderful to us. We love them so much. We forgot all about them.
I do apologise, everyone. If you want anything for web, go for them. They're brilliant. They've got tons of stuff available to you. I've bought a couple of websites this month. And I'm really, really, really chuffed with it. I got my discounts on them. It all worked just fine and dandy. And they took me money quite happily. Go to britishtechnetwork.com. Click on the UK2 link. It'll open a separate tab. And then go back to British Tech Network and go on to the sponsors link. And it'll give you all the codes in there for the sponsors for UK2. And you can get tons off. You can clear your basket if you bought DNS management free of charge. And really throw PayPal into a spin. So give them a shout, uk2.net, but please go through the click on our website, otherwise we don't get the kudos for having sent you. We look after them, they look after us, and we've lost a lot of data. We did, from the 16th of June to the 16th of July, we did 750,000 downloads. So, and UKT picked up all of that without any kind of questions at all. So we love them to bits. Thank you very much. Right. Have we got any cool things, Adam? Do you bring a cool thing with you? Or do you want to come back?
Can I bring... Yeah, so swing back around. Oh, okay. I'm sure I've got something cool around here. Let me look.
Batteries for his mouse.
The batteries for his mouse. The Apple batteries that cost more.
No, I don't think that's it.
What have you got for us, Mr. Swagger?
It's a freebie this week, and it's called Fing, I believe is how it's say. F-I-N-G. It's a free app on the App Store. Duh. And essentially what it does, I just kind of like it every once in a while. When you're on your network, on your wireless network, it allows you to get on your network and see what all connected devices are on your network. And if something pops up that you don't think that should be there, or if you're noticing activity, say on your router or something looks fishy, you can use this. It scans your entire network, and it names all your, you can name your machines in it, so you can know which one is what and whatever's on there. But if something pops up, then you know that, maybe your network's been compromised. It's just a nice little,
yeah.
I don't know, a tool just to have.
Have you got a URL or what the name was again?
Fing, F-I-N-G. It's in the App Store, and there's an iPad and an iPhone version. I think it's Fing is how you pronounce it. F-I-N-G. It's free, too.
Like that. Good one. And free as well. I'll be down in that in a second, because my bandwidth goes up and down like Billy-O. By the way, for those who didn't know, I was down on the tube the other night, and I was at Tufnell Park, which is in Zone 2. It's a little bit further out from central London. And I did a speed test for the Virgin Media Network that's down the tube there. I got 43 megabits a second up on a public Wi-Fi that's free.
That's
just
insane.
Crazy. Up. Mr. Forsman, what have you got for us?
I know that I've talked about Ticket to Ride a number of times, but they have some new stuff, and I thought this would be a good way to talk about it.
You love Ticket to Ride.
I do. I love it's Ticket to Ride. So much
it's
fun.
An awesome game.
Particularly for the European listeners, there's a new Ticket to Ride Pocket Europe, which uses the European map. So if you like that. And they also updated the iPad version. So originally when they did their first update for Retina displays, all they updated were just the maps. So all the other UI elements were still at, double... pixelated resolution, and it bothered me. I'll be honest, it bothered me. But they updated all the artwork to be Retina, and they also added a new map that came out just last Christmas, the Asia map. So you can play Ticket to Ride Asia on your iPad, and I was testing it out last night and played with some people, and it's especially if you have if you're a longtime player, it's a lot of fun because it's just it totally changes the dynamic. You know, because you have all these different routes and different cities, and you have to just think in a new way. And I also really like the new theme music. They have theme music for each map that's kind of goes along with each style, and the Oriental theme music is quite pleasant.
A man who likes Oriental theme music. Jolly good.
That's but the Ticket to Ride Pocket, I think, is 99 cents for the Europe version.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry. $199. And the Asia map is an in-app purchase for iPad users. If you download the latest update, and it's, I think, $3.99.
Excellent. Yeah. Totally good. Mr. Green, do you have anything for us, sir?
I do. Only a tiny thing.
The update to Skype, for one.
Yes.
You spent the whole podcast with us.
A couple of Easter eggs, which I've always enjoyed Easter eggs. It shows that whoever's developing an application or a particular product has got a sense of humor, and it's nice to build in some fun stuff, isn't it? Is that one about Microsoft? What was it now? Did you see that one?
No.
It was in the news. I can't remember what it was now. Big boobs. Big boobs.
Yeah, they put the word out, big boobs was on it, yeah.
Yeah. Made me laugh anyway.
Yes.
Might be just me. But so
have you started yet?
Yeah, I have.
Here okay, goes. Right. Go on.
So if you do a Google search for
don't say big boobs.
No. Okay. Well, do that afterwards, but go on.
I should align this, shouldn't I? Here it is. If you do a Google search for Conway's Game of Life, right. Conway's, which is a sort of seminal game from the 70s. Well, not game so much, like a modeled version of, you know, those little things that grow inside you. What do you call them?
Babies?
Metacoins?
Those, you know, bacteria.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Organisms, yeah.
Midichlorians. Who said midichlorians?
And some live and some die, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And they join together. But if you type that into Google, Conway's Game of Life, and wait a little while, a little replica of Conway's Game of Life will start in the right-hand side of the Google window, which is fun.
Excellent.
So that's one.
Yeah.
I got another one.
Okay.
If you go to the App Store and download an application, as it's downloading, do highlight it, do a command and I, or, you know, get info type thing, and you'll see that the date added column reads the 24th of January, 1984, the exact date that the original Macintosh was launched.
Ooh. But,
there we are.
Hmm.
Interesting, eh?
Excellent.
Did you all know that, and were you too polite to say we knew that?
No, we don't usually take the time out of our day to actually search for those things. So thank you, Will.
I bet Adam did, because he's gone very quiet. And I bet Chris did as well.
I'm figuring out my pick and hoping that it wasn't picked, and then wondering if it had covered on Chris's site. But I'm going to pick it anyway, so we'll see.
No.
That was interesting, Will. Honestly, I'm interested. I like the...
It was.
You can bloody talk. All this governs about playing graphics cards and all that. I mean, Christ, that went on forever.
Now, I've put Thing on my iPad, and I've tested...
There was an uncomfortable silence then, wasn't there?
Yeah, because no one wants to listen. I've put Thing on my iPad here, and on one of the IPs that I've specified, it's got Digital Data Communications Asia. Is the vendor. Now, it's not, because 135 is actually is one of the Skype machines. Now, what does that mean? Should I be worried?
I would say no. Maybe it's the, since it's one of the Skype machines, I guess it's one of an older Mac Mini, maybe the Ethernet port or whatever you're using for.
Yeah.
That's the vendor.
And I've got another one, .50, that's someone called Pinetron, is the vendor. No idea what that is. Well, I'm worried now. I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Pinetron's the lost Transformer. They're still trying to find him.
I'm not going to sleep tonight now. No, bugger.
Bing has made you paranoid. Yeah,
it has. Oh, dude, you shouldn't have done that. I'm getting hot, actually. my pick, my cool thing, is without doubt, he's not here tonight because Mr. McAllister's off doing something with his good lady, so everything's working out for that. But today, and I've had to bite my tongue on this for a couple of for a little while. Don has released a magazine that you subscribe to through the bookstore. Screencast Online Monthly edition one's out August 2012, and basically it's a really cool little mag. He's got a couple of contributing people who've come in with some good little as well about Mac. And he's also got some videos in there. Now, what's kind of cool is if you're a Screencast Online subscriber, then you get this free of charge anyway. There's this month's, and it's on green screen, which is why it's horrible. So, that you get that free anyway. And it's just a simple mag that you just swipe through. There's a little instruction on how to use the mag as well, how to do page navigation. There's some editorial articles. But what's really cool is you've got the videos on, and when you click the videos, if you turn it horizontal, the video pops out and fills the screen, and they're all of Don's tutorials. So there you go. And the first one this month is free of charge. So if you go to the iTunes store and download it, just do a search on Screencasts Online, all one word, monthly, and you can get it down. But like I say, there's a couple of nice little articles in there from, let me just get the names right. Katie Floyd has written one on why Ping is sapping iPad battery life. There's a tutorial on Sparrow for Mac. A guy called David Sparks has done something on the 7-inch iPad. There's an iOS movie tutorial in there. It's really cool. So there you go. And the beauty is, if you're a subscriber, you get it free. But if you're not a subscriber, you can just buy the magazine on a monthly basis. And I think it's £4.95 for a year subscription, which is kind of, or for an issue, which is really cool. So there you go. Screencast Online monthly. Good old Don. Well done.
That's a deal.
We like Don.
Yeah.
Formation bombing.
All right.
You did what?
A magazine.
You did a magazine? Yeah. Yeah, but you never made an episode. That's the trouble with you.
I did one. I did one. It's called The Paper Mag.
It's called Plex and Beyond.
Have you got Plex off your computer yet? No.
You haven't let me. Genuine magazine, and I'm still doing it, called The Paper Mac. And people who contribute to it are Paper Mac writers.
Oh, very good. Paper Mac writer. Dumptish. But you say you're still doing it. Is that just because you haven't yet published episode two?
Did I do issue two? I can't remember. But I am certainly working on issue three.
When did you do one?
I'm not going to tell you.
Give me the date. Come on, Greeny.
I'm not going to tell you.
No, you have to. You have to give me the... No, everyone has to have this in context. When was issue one?
September 5th, 1984.
I'm not going to tell you because it was a little while ago.
No, you have to tell us. You can't do that. Come on, fess up.
In all honesty, it was about 3 years ago.
3 years. So it wasn't really so much a monthly as a yearly.
It will be monthly. I am working on it. It all takes
a tri-annually.
Tri-annually. Periodical. It's a very big period, though, between episodes.
Well, I mean, thing is, all good things, right? If you rush, Don's rushed this out, rushed it out, and you're reading it, you think, this is a rush job. I wish it subscribe to Paper Mac magazine, which comes out once every 3 years and is bloody ace. That's what people will be thinking. I think, old Don's done.
Yeah, it did have a feel of being rushed, I have to say. You're absolutely right, Greeny. I don't know what came over me. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Quality over quantity.
Absolutely.
Quality over quantity.
Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Christensen?
Well, did you want to pick from me? I did.
Yes. Oh, forgot. I thought we'd done you. I do apologize. What would you like to give us as your cool thing, sir?
I am going
to
give you a free web app.
Good.
Remember when Apple was going to do web apps and that was going to be how we were going to have apps and we didn't have the App Store? There's a really cool weather one. Did anybody pick Sun? It's been a while since I've been on. So have you guys heard of Sun or seen it's the little Sun?
You picked that app? Anyway, because it's not been picked on this show, but Paul Wheatley picked it on last night's big show. So it's obviously good. Go ahead.
It's an excellent. So you just go on your iOS device, or I think this probably would also work on Android, I would assume. Go to pattern.dk/sun. And you can install this little weather app, and it's going to, you know, you just do the add to home screen thing and it'll download it and install it. It has all of the features you'd expect in a standalone app that you get through the Mac App Store. So, you know, you pinch in and out to access the settings and view the 5-day, 7-day forecast. You can put in multiple locations. It can recognize your location and give you the weather for your current location. It's got a really nice, clean, simple interface. You swipe through it and it has all the cool animations. It's just incredibly well done. In the settings, you can change your theme so you can kind of get different styled backgrounds and stuff like that. It's just a really simple little weather app, but it's a really good example of the kinds of things that you can do with just pure, you know, web programming. And it's something that fascinates me as a web developer. You know, when somebody does something cool like this, I like to call attention to it because it's really pretty neat.
Very good.
A little tip, though, real quick. Don't put in patter.dk/sun. You'll have a surprise.
Oh, yeah, don't do that. Pattern.
Have you just gone to Patter?
No. It just went in wrong. Shut up, Rankin.
How you spelling that, mate?
Shut up, Rankin. R-N.
Excellent. Paul Wheatley raved about it last night, so it must be a good app. Well done. Good pick, mate. Where can we get it as well then, Adam?
Find me over at maccast.com or just look for the podcast on iTunes. It's Maccast.
Good. Excellent.
We'll keep it simple. Oh, and Twitter, of course, twitter.com/Maccast. Maccast everywhere.
Maccast. We love it. And you're doing well in the UK charts at the moment, mate.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you're right up there. So.
Yeah, I get it. Well, you know, a lot of people email me, and so I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show and kind of get myself out there and you know, expand a little bit. So thanks for the opportunity. So right back at you.
No, we've had a couple of emails saying good that you're on, mate. So it's still good for next month?
Yeah. Excellent. Love doing it. This is a lot of fun.
Good. It's completely uninformative, but fun. Mr. Swagger, where are you, mate?
On Twitter, you can find me at Kyle Swagger, Swagger 1G only, of course, and at kyleswagger.com.
And voice of the NBA, you're doing ladies NBA at the moment.
We're not doing Olympics? A whole lot right now because of the Olympics. But yeah, we're doing WNBA. And then we got, of course, at the end of October, we got NBA season coming back. So yeah, over here in the Philippines, though, not in the US, just here in the Philippines.
Mr.
Let's get that straight.
Forsman's gone. Where's Forsman gone? He was there and then he wasn't. You can get Chris Forsman at Forsmack on Twitter, or you can get him writing at Ars Technica. And Ars Technica is very, very good. Very good articles. Make me think. Some of them I can't read and understand, but I try.
You can find them right now in the eye toilet.
I'm not a clever man. He's doing something with the dogs and answering the door, I think. And Mr. Green, where are you, mate?
Two places, BritishMac.com. And I also should say thank you to my employers to give me this time. I'm being paid for this, you know?
Yeah, Stone.
Can you imagine that? Who would pay me for this? Ridiculous.
I would.
Would you?
Yeah, gladly. If I could pay us all, I'd gladly pay us all. three quarters of a million downloads in a month, and I can't get anyone to sponsor us. I think it's somewhat to do with the irreverent content. I know that we did have Asda very interested for a long time, and then we issued Debbie McGee's Five of Spades, and they weren't interested after that. So.
It's those damn tangents.
I think we're in acquired taste, mate. Forsman, I've done where we can get you, but
I haven't done me.
See you, mate. And Greeny, who's your employer?
Stoneburn.
Thank you, mate.
Stoneburn.com or cloud-based computing. And don't worry, if you're lucky, you won't get me.
Pete in the chat room wants to hear James Hart impersonation of everyone on the network, not just Greeny. I agree. He could do Forsman. We'll be back again next week. We've got the Mac Show as normal. We've got the photo show. There's no F1 show for a month because they're on layoff. And then we've got Big Show next Thursday night. That'll be the next full-time one. See you again soon. Thanks for listening.